full. I invite you to take your continued discipleship books and turn to page 137. Page 137. And this week we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember last time, it was a couple weeks ago that we did this. My father-in-law was in town and we interviewed him over here. And that was fun. And I got a lot of good feedback from that. And a lot of you seem to really like that. So we may be doing some interviews as we move forward about people's testimony and life story. I think that would be cool, kind of a Sunday night series where preach a normal message, but then you have kind of an interview of someone the church doesn't know that well, or maybe even someone the church knows really well, a core member, but you don't know their full story. So I'm considering that for the summer, of having kind of a testimony night, but more specific, honing in on one person or even a couple, and then you can get into how they met and all that cute stuff, and that'll be fun as well. So page 137, we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Before we dive into it, I want to give some Bible verses for you guys to look up. And I've got a lot of them that are pretty succinct here on this first page. Can someone just take all five of those references that are on page 139 in John? And it's just, you'll be flipping between those. John, it'll be John 14, 26, John 15, 26, 16, 7, 14, 26 again, and then 16, 13. Can someone just take all those? Thank you, Brother Trent. And then we have some more on the next page. Romans 15, 13. Can someone take that? Thank you very much. And Ephesians 3, 16. Ephesians 3, 16. Thank you, sir. Acts 1, 8 and Acts 5, 32. Acts 1, 8. Drake, thank you. And Zoe, if you would take Ephesians 5, 18, because your mom pointed you out anyways. Now your mom's going to get Galatians 5, 16 and 25. And then Ephesians 4, 30 through 31. Thank you, Gloria. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. This will be the last one. Yeah, okay, thank you. And then we'll reassign after that. I know we're missing a lot of people tonight. So again, if you're watching, I hope you're tuned in. I hope you're not eating a bag of Cheez-Its right now or a box of Cheez-Its, excuse me, a box of Cheez-Its right now. Hope you have your book open. You got a little desk in front of you. You have a little bit of coffee there maybe, like we don't have in here, but you can. That's fine. But I hope that you're tuned in, and I hope that you don't have this like split screen with, I guess there's no sports on right now except baseball, but I guess there's a big hockey game tonight, isn't there? Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into the introduction. You'll remember the review. Last week we studied an important principle that was crucial. It's your relationship with the Word of God. And we had a lesson, I believe it's lesson one, about the Word of God, but our relationship to the Word of God is different than that. And now we're getting into something that is really applicable about your relationship with the Word of God, and that's your relationship with the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, God Himself came to live within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, our lecture is going to get into this some, but I even read the scripture this morning in John, how Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He's basically saying, no, you don't understand. It's actually better for you that I go away, that the what can come? The Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also trusted, or after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you had believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It continues to say, but what does this mean for your life on a daily basis? How does the Holy Spirit work in your life? Is it mysterious or mystical, or is it real and practical? Pastor Shakur, I would write this quote down. He would often say this because he would be talking about, you can just keep it on one of those slides. That'd be great. He was often talking about the ecstatic experiences of charismatic relationships with the Holy Spirit. And the charismatics are always looking for an ecstatic experience, a speaking in tongues, a healing, a something ecstatic. But the Holy Spirit oftentimes doesn't produce ecstatic experiences, although He can. He often produces effective experiences. And that's so important. That's a great quote. He doesn't often produce ecstatic experiences now that we have the completion of the Word of God. He produces effective experiences now. But what does this mean for you on a daily basis? In the study, we'll see how the Holy Spirit works in your life, how you can cooperate with Him, and what the result of His work will be. So lesson 7, the Holy Spirit ministers to your heart. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, he explained to his disciples how he would soon be leaving them, but the Holy Spirit would take his place in their lives. John 14:6, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." As we saw in Lesson 2, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a part of the Trinity. And as we saw in Lesson 4, the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts the moment we trust Christ as Savior. From that point on, he begins ministering to our hearts in tender and significant ways. This does bring up a question for the very mature Christian. What role does the Holy Spirit have in our prayer life? And this is a message I'm soon going to be preaching to you, because when you see the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is always, in its operation, always glorifying the Son. That's the operation in many ways in the prayer life of a Christian, is to glorify the Son. And we're going to have a message about that shortly on a Sunday morning, actually. But as we saw in Lesson 2, the Holy Spirit is God. He is the divine Comforter. Comforter. He is the divine Comforter. And the words will not be on the screen tonight, so you got to take a guess at Comforter. I think you can get it, though. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the... There it is. There you go. The Comforter. That'll help you. Four times in his discussion with the disciples before his crucifixion. John 14:16. We've actually already read that, but John 14:26. And also John, I'm sorry. And also John 15:26.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
So there's another, that's what the message is going to be about in John 15, that the Holy Spirit often is testifying of Jesus. That's one of the great operations of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. Christians deal with heartaches and trials just as unbelievers do, and sometimes Christians even have additional trouble because they are Christians. Yet the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. He reminds us of God's promises and assures us by His very presence in our lives that God has not left us alone. That's such an important principle as you deal with sickness, as you deal with persecution, that you are never alone, that the Lord has given you a true comforter. And it's more than a rabbit's foot. It's not just, I have the Holy Spirit living within me. It's a true, real thing in your Christian life that the Holy Spirit takes, he indwells you. He takes up residence in your soul, that you have the Holy Spirit, and no man can take that away from you. He is the divine comforter. He also guides you to truth. He guides you to truth. This is one of my problems with the charismatic movement, by the way. Because often they will say the Holy Spirit has spoken to them and given them revelation that is opposing the very Word of God. And how can you say that the Holy Spirit gave you something if that thing is false? That's, by the way, very important point here. We need to be very careful as Christians to say things like, the Lord led me to do something, okay? Or the Lord told me to do this. We've got to be really careful when we say that we're being real and genuine, because how God leads us is through His Word. And obviously God can guide us through His Word and through our prayer life, but sometimes we speak as though we've heard the very words from God about our direction in life. And we've got to be careful about that, because God is guiding us to truth through His Word. Without the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives, we would be left to navigate our way through life's daily decisions and concerns of our own. But if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He will often bring scriptures and biblical principles to mind that speak to the needs of our lives. John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And
then John 16:13. Part of the work and guiding of the Holy Spirit is to help us understand the Bible. Remember, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. So when you are confused about what the Bible means, remember to ask the author who is within you to help you study. And it's a truly amazing thing that the mystery has been revealed to us and that the gospel is foolishness to those who don't believe, meaning that God has done some kind of reckoning in the mind and the heart and the soul of a believer to where we can look at Scripture with new eyes because we have the presence of God living within us. We have the presence of the author of the Bible that lives within us. And if you had a question about a book, there's several books that are at my mind right now, but I don't want to name. But if you had a question about a book, who better to ask than the author of that book? And we have the privilege as Christians to go to him in prayer and to look at look through other scriptures. The best interpreter of the Bible is other scripture. Their best way to study the Bible is to cross-reference. And I was talking with someone recently how amazing cross-references are and how amazing fulfilled prophecy is. Have any of you seen that graph, that picture graph of how many cross-references there are in Scripture? And I'll have to pull that picture up next time because I want a big mural of that in my office. Because it is absolutely, there's a video of Jordan Peterson talking about it too, but it is amazing to see all of the cross-references in Scripture and all those lines. You should look that up when you go home on your phone, and that's a really interesting thing to see. He strengthens you for service. He strengthens you for service. In lesson 10, you will discover the Holy Spirit has specially and supernaturally equipped every believer to serve in the local church. But even with this equipping, we sometimes grow weary and faint. The Holy Spirit renews our hope and gives us energy from within. Romans 15, 13. Amen. Ephesians 3, 16. Amen. Weakness in ministry comes when we depend on ourselves. Strength in ministry comes when we depend on God. And that's a great thing. He strengthens you for service. And if you are in some ministry in this church and you begin to get weary, maybe you need to take a break. Maybe you need to take some time off. But maybe you just need to lean upon the Holy Spirit and help, ask for His help and guidance. Because the Holy Spirit truly can change your heart and your perspective around on your ministry. He empowers your witness. Not only does He strengthen your service, He empowers your witness. One of the earliest desires of a new Christian should be to share the good news of salvation with others. But you cannot convince others by your own cleverness or persuasion to trust Jesus as their Savior. The Holy Spirit uses your witness, telling others what Jesus did for you, and convicts those whom you talk to of their need of Him. Acts 1:8.
Acts 5:32.
Amen. Every day the Holy Spirit is with you to minister to your heart in ways you may not even be aware of. As you learn to recognize and rely on His work in your life, you will see how needful it is to learn and depend on it as you grow in your Christian life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit makes the Christian life work. Have you ever considered how impossible the Christian life is? Truthfully, trying harder to be better in our own strength is an exercise in futility, but the Holy Spirit empowers change in our lives from the inside out. Let's see how God designed this to work. Scripture instructs us to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not to be confused with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we've already seen. When we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit began to dwell in us permanently, but now He desires to fill us up, to control our actions and reactions. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. Right, so Yep, so he's given a contrast and a comparison there. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The contrast there is of a drunk man and a sober man. So be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. The comparison there is that a man that is drunk is completely controlled by the substance that he has taken in. You will know if you see a drunk person. Most drunk people, you will know, unless they've been a drunk for so long that they're one of those working drunks where but you can tell. You spend enough time with someone and you will know if they're inebriated in some way. You can tell when you're around someone who's on cocaine or on other types of drugs. You can tell when someone has put something into their body, narcotics or whatever it is, someone has put something into their body that has changed their whole character. It's changed their whole outward appearance. I remember growing up, my dad many times would drink, many times he would do drugs, and I often wondered which dad is coming home. Some of you grew up in homes like that. Is it drunk dad or is it nice dad? Or is it, you know that it completely changes someone. What they have put in changes their character and who they are on the outside. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The contrast there is that the Holy Spirit that lives within us, if we allow the Holy Spirit to control our thoughts and actions, we will not be ourselves, we'll be more like Jesus Christ, right? We will be more like Jesus Christ because we allow Him to control us. Alcohol, when in excess put into a person, controls them. They are not in charge. The book of Proverbs gives so many instances of things that happen that are so true. One of the funny ones to me, which is not really funny, drunkenness is not supposed to be funny, but his eyes will behold strange women. How true is that trope of drunken people, where they wake up the next morning with someone who they never would have had relations like that with before if they were sober-minded? There's so many things in Scripture that talk about the control and the transition of a person's mind when they are inebriated or controlled by alcohol. And so it is with the Christian, with the Holy Spirit. It completely changes who we are if we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Scripture instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. This verse gives us a picture of a person who is drunk. The inebriated person is not in control of themselves. They are under the influence of another substance. Even so, the Holy Spirit wants us daily yielded to Him so that we obey and allow Him to control us. Scripture also instructs us to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit. By the way, I got to go back to the filling of the Spirit for a moment. Many people just look at the filling of the Spirit completely wrong, in my opinion, where they think that you even need to pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit for your salvation, that you even need to pray for the gift of tongues for your salvation. That is a real thing in some churches, that you're not saved until you speak in tongues. So what does that produce? It produces a lot of people that are fake speaking in tongues to prove that they are saved, or learning to speak in tongues, and you'll see Kenneth Copeland teaching people, you'll see many others teaching people, ha-da-da, sha-da-da, la-da-da. You know, and they'll just say all of this nonsense, and tongues in the Bible was languages. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is not you doing something ecstatic, it's the Holy Spirit having control of your life. It's the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you. Scripture also instructs us to walk in the Spirit. Growth in the Christian life takes place in our daily choices. That is a wonderful sentence. You should underline and highlight, put that in bold, cut it out of your book, and hang it on your wall. Growth in the Christian life takes place in the daily choices. As day by day, we make decisions to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 25. Amen. The matter of saying no to our fleshly impulses and saying yes to the Holy Spirit. That's what that is a matter of. Scripture also warns us not to sin against the Spirit. Not to sin against the Spirit. Christians can grieve and quench the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And those are the next two fill in the blanks. Grieving the Holy Spirit takes place when we willfully sin, even when He convicts our hearts that we are doing wrong. Ephesians 4, 30 through 31. I don't think I have. All right, can someone look up Ephesians 4, 30 through 31 for me? Ephesians 4, 30 through 31 for me. All right, thank you, Brother Albert. And I also need 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. I'm going to give a bunch away right now. Oh, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I gave you that one. Okay, just in a moment. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Thank you, Brother Trent. John 15:11. Thank you, Melissa. John 16:33. Thank you, Joseph. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. 1 Thessalonians, thank you. Galatians 6:10. Okay. Luke 17:5. Thank you. Matthew 5:5, and we're almost done. Just two more. Matthew 5, or 3 more. Thank you, Zoe. Titus 3:2. You guys are doing great, by the way. Thank you for volunteering. I appreciate it. Titus 3:2. Titus, where you at? Titus 3:2. Present. All right. 1 Corinthians 9:23-24. 1 Corinthians 9:23-24. Thank you, Trent. All right, so Ephesians 4:30-31. All right, so we grieve the Holy Spirit when we willfully sin against the Spirit. Also, we don't just have the ability to grieve Him, we can also quench Him. Quenching the Holy Spirit takes place when we continually ignore or resist His promptings. When we do this, after a time, we will cease to hear His voice. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Amen. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to live the Christian life in human strength, but God never asks us to do that. Instead, He comes alongside to guide us. He invites us to surrender to Him and fill us with His power to live godly lives. So we can grieve Him. We can quench Him. And those are two things that we really, really need to guard our hearts against from grieving and quenching and willfully sinning against the Holy Spirit that is to be guiding us on a daily basis. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of His transformation in your life. The incredible blessing of the Spirit-filled life is that the Holy Spirit transforms your life from the inside. It begins to show in some very specific ways on the outside. His work shows up in many ways that are referenced throughout the New Testament, but in Galatians 5:22-23, we have a succinct list. But the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You can't separate these from one another. All of these go together. It is one fruit. All right? The fruits of the Spirit, I get why people have separated them, and these are the fruits of the Spirit, but you can't have one of these things and not have the other. All of these go together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All of these qualities are known collectively as the fruit of the Spirit, and they continue to develop in your life. They are evidences that the Holy Spirit is at work. Let's consider them each briefly. The Holy Spirit produces love in the life of a Christian. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. The Holy Spirit also produces joy, John 15:11. The Holy Spirit produces also peace, John 16:33. The Holy Spirit also produces long-suffering, and long-suffering has the idea in some ways of patience. Long-suffering is the ability to suffer long with other people or situations. It is patience or endurance, and don't we need that with some people? 2 Timothy 2:3. The Holy Spirit produces also gentleness. First Thessalonians 2:7. No, you're good. Amen. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness. It also produces goodness. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto The Holy Spirit also produces faith. The Holy Spirit also produces meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under God's control. It's yielding our way to God's glory. Meekness is not walking around mopey and hyper-humble. Meekness is simply understanding that God is in control, and with that strength that is in the Holy Spirit, we can humbly walk through life. Matthew 5:5. And Titus 3:2 as well. Amen. The Holy Spirit produces meekness, and the Holy Spirit, lastly, produces temperance. Temperance is the opposite of excess. It is self-control, a disciplined life. 1 Corinthians 9, 23 through 24.
And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain.
Man, I want to give you an assignment, and we're going to go through this application. I'm going to give you those blanks as well. I want to give you an assignment to see what area in the fruit of the Spirit that your life needs work on. None of us are exempt from needing help in maybe even all of these areas, but maybe there's one or two of these areas that you can highlight and work on this week, and pray that the Holy Spirit would help you by memorizing Scripture. Pray that He would guide you in the text that you're reading. Pray that He would help you on a daily basis. Maybe it's long-suffering. Maybe you have someone in your life that it's hard to be patient with that person. And us parents know what that's like sometimes, right? It's hard sometimes to be long-suffering. It's hard to be meek. It's hard to have temperance and discipline in our life. It's hard to have love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, and all of those things with our daily interactions with people and just in our own spirit in our personal life. So find a couple of those areas, and then the best thing to do is to take a couple of scriptures and to memorize them, because there's power in what? The Word of God. So memorize Scripture with those areas that you know you need growth on. One thing that has helped me is by writing that Scripture on a 3x5 card and taking it with me all day long. And just if you got a break at work, you can pull out that 3x5 card, and it's old. It's not like you're pulling it up in your notes app. You've got that 3x5 card right there in your pocket or right in your back pocket or wherever. You pull it out, you memorize it, you dwell on it, not with the point of being able to say it again, but with the point of taking it in to your life. Application: the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is so significant that we will reference different aspects of it in every remaining lesson of this course. But His greatest work in your life hinges on your willingness to yield to Him. There are three vital ways you should yield to the Holy Spirit. Number one, make a definite commitment to yield every part of your life to Him. Make a definite commitment. If you have not done so already, pray and tell the Lord that you are wholly willing for Him to work in your life in any and every way He will. By the way, I have good and bad news for you. You could pray that as many times as you like. The bad news is you likely have to pray that several times a day. And giving your life to Christ afresh and anew, daily, giving it to Him again and again and again, because we've got to keep handing our life back to God as we mess it up and say, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me in these areas of my life. And God continues to help us if we will simply ask Him. Make a definite commitment. Number two, daily reaffirm your commitment to yield to Him. Daily reaffirm your commitment to yield to Him. And lastly, specifically ask the Holy Spirit to develop the areas in your life that you see are lacking. Look again at the list of the fruit of the Spirit. What is lacking in your life? We've already gone through that a bit. So that is the lesson on the Holy Spirit. This is one of those lessons for those of you that are going, many of you are going to be discipling someone through this curriculum. There's going to come up a lot of questions likely in this lesson, especially in the area that we live in that has so many charismatic churches and such a stronghold of charismatic influence. So with a lot of those questions, you need to study on your own time as well. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does He produce in modern-day Christians that are New Testament saints? And how to answer some of the questions about tongues, how to answer the questions about modern-day miracles, because it is prevalent, people making absurd claims in the name of the Holy Spirit today, which is really blasphemy to God, because the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. It's blasphemy to say the Holy Spirit did something, and clearly the Holy Spirit did not. I know that the pastor of Hillsong Church has made a claim that there's a lady in his church, and all the ladies got around her, and this lady had lost, I think it was four of her toes, and that in a 30-minute prayer session, all the ladies watched the toes regrow and the nails form and all of those things, and this lady is in that church, but they refused to give proof because in some way that would open up this lady to criticism if they simply showed a picture of this healed foot. But there's so many ridiculous things. You got to just turn on the TV and watch Benny Hinn heal someone, and to see the interviews later of that person still in a wheelchair, or that person still sick, or these people as plants. And there's so much blasphemy of God's Holy Spirit taking place that it's really important that we be aware, especially because we live in this DFW charismatic metroplex in many ways. It's good for you to study and find those things out for yourself. Well, I'm going to go and conclude our service for this evening.